Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Well, welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey. I am Dr. Vicki, and I am very happy to be with you this evening. It's a gorgeous evening this night in the North Georgia Mountains, and I tell you, it's just, as I was telling Don, I'm lazily happy tonight, just lazily, just very, very relaxed, and I'm just so excited to be with you tonight. I want to talk tonight about spiritual laws to transform your life into abundant freedom. Now, the reason why I use the word abundant and freedom is those are two words that are very important to me. And therefore, you know, when I share that with you, I want you to understand what those words mean. Freedom is, I think, what we're here to survive, but we want to be surviving in a freedom way, a very free, beautiful, relaxing way. And the abundant fashion for me is that, and this is why I share with you, it's not just about money. Money certainly is, you know, part of being abundant, but it's also good health, it's wealth, it's happiness, it's joy, it's wisdom. Oh my goodness, we could go on, we could make a show of just what the word abundant means to each and every one of you. But that is what, when I say spiritual laws to transform your life to abundant freedom, that means as you're living your soul's journey, you want it to be the best that it can be, even though you're going to have all these different laws, like the law of challenge, which we're going to talk about tonight, the law of karma, the law of, oh my goodness, I have just a lot of different laws, and I don't want to just name them because that kind of gets boring. But I am going to be talking about the universal law of reincarnation. And I really do welcome your calls on this. If anyone out there, if you're not out in the sun out in California on the beach, but if you are listening, if not, we'll play this again sometime. But I just want to tell you that when you have challenges, and there is a law of challenge, believe it or not, that there is always, and I'm going to mention this numerous times during the hour because it's going to be kind of folding into what the definition of karma is and why we live under the law of karma. Now, when we have a challenge in our lives, and we all have them, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, I don't care if you're the most powerful person in the world or, well, we're all powerful. So let me restate that. We're all powerful. But regardless of how you term whether somebody's powerful, let me put it that way. I feel everyone's powerful. It's just whether they use it in the right way or not. That's just a given. You know, you can be very powerful, have a lot of money and have a powerful job. But if you're creating upsets along the way, and if you're lying and cheating to other people, well, including yourself, always including yourself, then you might just have some issues with that. Maybe not. I'm not here to judge, like I said last week, whether somebody's going to have karma or not. I'm just going to talk generally about my understanding of karma from my studies and from my experiences here this life and many others. Now, we get trapped. And these challenges that come up in our lives can trap us if we do not understand the laws. And the reason why I say that is because if you have a challenge, a life experience, a pattern, and I'm going to start with an example of myself, because it's the best I can use without getting into any other person's life, is I kept having relationships. Now, it has nothing to do with the other person. That's the law of responsibility. I don't blame anybody for anything. I don't even blame myself for anything. But I came on this planet as Vicki to learn to love myself. Now, that sounds a little narcissistic, but it really isn't. It is learning to honor yourself because, I mean, you know, we're all God's children. And I came on this planet to do just that. So what did I end up doing? well, I hadn't learned it yet. Obviously, just recently did I learn that. But I kept having relationships, and I would wait like 10 years between relationships, or not, that's maybe a little exaggeration, but I would wait a long time. And so what would happen is during those years that I wasn't with somebody, I was starting to learn to love myself, but I hadn't quite got it. So I would get back into another relationship, and I would immediately, as I got back into the relationship, realize, you know, this isn't right. I mean, I'm talking pretty immediately, because I kept thinking this relationship will solve my problem of love. If I get into this relationship, I will feel love. I will be loved. I will have that security. I will have that freedom. I will have everything I came on this planet to have. But I didn't realize at that time in my life, whether it was in my teens, my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, or even my 50s, that actually I wasn't really going to get it from a relationship. I had to find it within. So I'd go back to being single again, and I would go back to getting it almost together. And then there would be that booby trap, is what I call it. That old pattern would kick in and say, you know, I really am alone. I really don't want to be like this. I don't want to be in my 60s, 70s, and 80s and all by myself. Well, it took this final relationship, and this is what I'm talking about, the hidden gift in every challenge. It took this final relationship to finally give me the choice to stay in a relationship or not have one. And that choice is a big word here. And it was that gift that I finally got of loving myself, honoring myself, and thus honoring spirit without having to get it or attempt to get it from a relationship. And we can never get it from a relationship. If we do, it's temporary. It may feel good, but after 2-3 years, for me, it was never more than a year. But there was only one relationship that I had that lasted 12 years. And the only reason why is because we were both separate people, and we never really got into each other's space. So we really never even knew each other. And by the way, that reminds me, I'm going to be having a guest on June 14th, Richard Andrew King, who will be talking about voids and names and how names affect us and how relationships. So I'm excited. Put that on your calendar for June 14th. You're going to have a lot of guests over the summer. So anyway, I just want to talk to you about the spiritual laws to transform your life to abundant living. The first one I want to discuss is karma. Oh my goodness, people say the law of karma. Oh well, you know, I'm kind, I'm good, I'm going to be okay. I've got good karma. Well, I have a means of measuring karma through some energy work that I do. And I have worked through my karma for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's drastically down. Now, that what do you think that means? It's been easy? Well, in a way, yes, because of the energy work, it has been much easier than if I had lived every single one of those experiences in agony and in challenge. I actually did some energy work to help with that. But energy work does not solve all karma. I mean, you still have to experience certain things depending on how quick your karma is. Some people get their karma instantly. Some people take lifetimes. It depends on how quickly you learn your lessons. But the law of karma is a very important journey, if you may, that makes the universe, you know, provide us or recognize and give us what we want, what we need to move forward. If we just sit around and do visualizations, do chants, and just sit on a mountaintop, and don't ever do anything other than, you know, use the law of attraction, not a lot is going to happen, more than likely, folks. We must take some inspired action. Karma, in many people's viewpoint, means action. So if you're taking an action, it isn't that you're doomed to have to live it this way. Wisdom cuts down on negative karma. The more wisdom that you have, the more knowledge you have. Wisdom, I always think of wisdom as from spiritual. Knowledge is from books. But wisdom is from spirit. It's like that knowingness, that intuition, that psychic ability, it's intuitive. And it's again, from spirit, from God. It's that wisdom of life. Doesn't mean you can't have wisdom at 15 years old. My daughter is one of the most wise young teenagers, young ladies I've ever met in my life, and she's 15. And I know people that are 80 years old that are not wise. So remember, it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with how much knowingness you have and how you use it. And that wisdom can cut down on negative karma. So there are a lot of things that you can do to overcome karma. And just know that when you were just sitting there chanting, or, you know, that isn't going to just necessarily get rid of karma if you had some negative karma to go through. Now, let's get back to that karma understanding, because I had karma. When I came into this life, I had the karma because I could not love myself. I pulled in experiences after experiences, and it was like constant testing. Okay, is little Victoria going to get it now? Is she going to be able to? You know, I had my mother take away coats from me. When I was a little girl, she would take away a coat and give it to the poor child. And, you know, it affected me and made me feel unimportant. Well, there was the first gift that I could have gotten from that. It was like, wow, what a gift that my mother did that for that child. And I did feel that way to a certain degree, but at other times I'd be the only one on stage as a ballerina that didn't have her little halo on because my mother had given my halo away to the other little girl who didn't have a halo. So I had no halo. I was the only child on stage, had no halo. Well, as a little 5 and 6 year old, you don't necessarily sit there and say, oh, well, what a nice gift I just got from spirit. You know, I don't have the halo, but everybody else does. Oh, well, I have to learn to love myself regardless of whether I have a halo. Children don't think like that. I mean, maybe some do. Certainly there's no absolutes, but I certainly didn't. And so when my mother would come, I mean, these are starting of all the gifts. These are the challenges that I lived with. And others, I'm sure as I speak, can listen and say, wow, I had that kind of similar challenge too. But my sister was a beautiful brunette. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful girl. And I was a blonde, natural blonde. And so I don't know why, my mother always just thought she was more beautiful. And so she would always tell me, well, you're not as beautiful as your sister, Victoria, but you're very cute, you know. So I grew up with all of these little challenges that, looking back on it, were some of my greatest gifts, because Spirit was teaching me very young, don't judge yourself on what you looked like. Don't judge yourself on what other people think of you, even your own mother. Don't judge yourself. Love yourself as you are. And so I started having all these. And when I went back through my Rohan and my other energy work that I've done, it doesn't have to be painful, y'all, to look at all this. It's just it's wisdom. Again, it's wisdom. And when I started looking at all this, and then the relationships that I had, it was like, wow, every relationship that I had, there were always issues of authenticity, meaning, were you really authentic? Were you really honest? Were you really lying? Were you a con man? Were you whatever? And all those things that I attracted, I was actually doing to myself. I was one of the kindest people on the planet because I'm a Pisces. Oh my gosh, I would never hurt a fly. Well, maybe once in a while I have killed a fly if it bothered me. But overall, I'm very kind. I'm just a kind person. But boy, I've got that Scorpio moon. And if you start coming in on me and lying and cheating and conning me and doing things like that, wow, you know, that kindness goes away. And what was happening was all these journeys, these challenges that I was experiencing, and I hope you can relate to them, were all just pointing me to, are you going to really wake up and realize that you're not alone, that you have a whole team of angels and spiritual guides and God with you? Are you ever going to wake up? Well, I have to say, y'all, it took me a long time. And, you know, I got 2 doctorates and I've had a lot of training and I've had heaven knows how many experiences. But it took 5 relationships. I mean, you 5, you know, that should make somebody out there feel better, because a lot of people say, oh, I only had 3 and I thought I had a lot. Well, I had 5. And so when you look at that, you have to say, wow, it took her a long time. Well, you know, it did, but I got it. And when I got it, I felt it. And there's your key in karmic situations. You can theorize all of it all the time and you know, rationalize it and say, well, of course I'm happy. Well, of course I got my lesson out of that. Of course I understand that. But until you feel it down to your core, you really haven't gotten it where it stays with you. Now, thinking of staying with you in karmic situations, things do stay with you. It's like when you learn to play the piano, you can keep that karmic continuation. Habits, tendencies, talents, abilities can be carried over to the next life. Not all of them now, y'all, because I don't play the piano well, but I certainly do have a strong inclination to want to play. My daughter plays violin, and she plays the violin in ways that her teacher's like, where did you learn that? And she's like, well, I don't know. I just knew it. Well, there you go. You know, for those that don't believe in reincarnation, we're going to get into that in a little bit, and I'm going to talk to you really about that. But having free choice is the law of consequence. Now, we got the law of continuation, which means that in the law of karma, if you haven't abused, this is just my viewpoint, but if you haven't abused your talents, you typically will carry them over. And you will, you know, just to tell you from another life, I did abuse my piano playing. And I let it go, and I didn't take responsibility for it. So this life has not been as easy for me to learn the piano. That's what I call the law of responsibility. I had a beautiful talent, and I did not take responsibility for it. I've been through that lifetime many times to try to clear that up, and I finally got, you know, what the issue was. But we do have the law of consequence. Now, having free choice, that means we as human beings on this planet can make mistakes. We have, even though we have this soul's journey that we're supposed to go on, we're going to make a mistake now and then, and we're going to say, oh my goodness, why in the world did I do that? Well, when that happens, we can either learn from that, we can learn from those negative and positive, you know, responses that we had to it. If we learned something from a mistake and we learned it well, then wow, let's keep that. Let's keep that lesson. And let's keep, how did we learn that? How did we do that? Oh, wow, I'm going to do that the next time if I mess up. I'm going to do that. And then I maybe won't, one mess up or two, I'll get over it much quicker. And, you know, we should also learn that to hurt others is like punishing ourselves. And I know you've heard that many, many times, that if you've had something bad happen to you and you hold a grudge, you know, you're not really holding the grudge toward the other person. Now, certainly they may need some energy work from the ugly stuff that they're sending out. Now, granted, don't fool yourself. They still have to deal with that, and hopefully they have the tools to do that. But the real person that gets hurt is yourself. And that is just a law of consequence. It doesn't matter how you believe or what religion you are. That's just in this life, in this way, then life after life, we learn to keep moving up until we get to the point where we're like Buddha or Christ, where we hopefully don't have to come back over and over again and live that same life. I mean, heaven forbid, y'all. I hope I don't have to come back next life and have those kinds of relationships again, you see? And I would have if I had not learned this life, what I learned about loving myself in a way that was not narcissistic. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a healthy, balanced love for self so that you can love other people honestly, authentically, and not need something from them, not use them, not pretend to be something you are not. Now, all that goes on in love, and we all know that. And until we learn to really, really, really love ourselves, and boy, was mine a journey, but my soul's journey. And that doesn't mean I'm going to die tomorrow because I finally got it. It just means that I opened that avenue, I'm sure, as I progress through years. As Vicky, I will continue to learn, as does you, you know, as you will. Now, I want to talk a little bit about reincarnation. It's a big issue for me because many, many friends of mine are very, very Christian. They do not believe in reincarnation. When I talk about it, they look at me like, oh my gosh, she's just going to go to hell. Bless her heart. Oh, we got to get her to church. Oh, she believes in reincarnation. Well, my mother passed away she's still alive now, but let me restate that. She crossed over when I was 17 years old and she was in a car wreck. And she came back. She went through the light and she was told to come back. And that's when she said she never doubted reincarnation again because she saw what was going on. She saw her lifetimes before and she just never doubted it anymore after that. I mean, it didn't matter what anybody said to her. If she'd had to have burned at the stake for her belief, she would have, because she knew for her it was true. Now, why would very, very, very Christian folks not believe in reincarnation? Well, it's very interesting because reincarnation is more Eastern. It's like an Indian doctrine. It's not necessarily a real defined one, but it's more from the Indian area. You know, I love Indian culture, by the way. But basically, like Hinduism, Buddhism, certain African tribes, all of those people believe in reincarnation, and they live it, they understand it. But how in the world can you explain how you could live all these lessons that we have to learn in one lifetime? It doesn't make sense. Why is it that a child comes in crippled when they first come into life? Why is the child scared of dogs from the moment that he comes into the planet? I mean, well, how do you explain how we like one thing, we don't like another? How do you explain, wow, I just met, Joe, and I felt this instant connection with him? Well, hello. I mean, you had a past life with him. Now, why is it then that you would meet Bill and say, wow, do I not like him? Well, you don't even know him. You know, you don't even know him. And this can fool you, y'all, because when you're in a relationship or meeting a new person, you instantly have that connection. And there may be karmic issues that you got to work out with them. And there isn't much you can do about that but to go through the relationship. But if you're wise, you might do some energy work and say, you know, I've been attracting the wrong kind of men or women for a long time. Let me really, really, we're going to get into this one in a minute, the law of discernment. Let me really look at and see after about 6, 8, 10 months, and let me see what's really going on with this person. Does this person have the same issues? Do I feel the same around this person that I do in all relationships? And if you say yes, then you know you're about to do the same thing over again because you've got that same feeling, that same behavior, that same pattern happening. So you all might as well just knock that one up on the wall and say, okay, here we go again. La, la, la. But the Second Council of Nicaea in Constantinople, I don't know if I said that wrong, in 533 A.D., did not come together like a lot of people think to necessarily, this is just another viewpoint, to reject reincarnation from the Bible. But its main purpose, according to some beliefs, that it was to decide whether Christ was of two natures. You know, he was initially a Jewish person, and was also to just look at this whole concept of reincarnation. And when that was rejected, that's when someone along the way, and there's much, much on the internet about this, took away reincarnation from the Bible. But it's very interesting because there are relevant, in the New Testament, and I don't know the Bible that well, even though I'm an ordained minister, I don't know it by heart. But in Christianity, there were a lot of passages supposedly taken out of the New Testament that were pointed toward reincarnation, but there were some that were left in. And like in Mark, Luke, John, they are, I think Matthew maybe, there was something in there about when Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah in a previous life. And I wrote this down just for people that really want references. John 9, 1 through 3 and John 17, 24 are examples of the belief in reincarnation. Because if Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah in a previous life, well, hello, that's reincarnation. I mean, that's the definition of reincarnation. So it's just very interesting that a lot of Christians don't believe that because it's been handed down that reincarnation, it's a controlling issue in my viewpoint, because if you only have one life to live, you have to control, they have better control of you. The powers that may be, the man powers, not spiritual powers, but man powers, have a lot more control over people, their money, the way they behave, their lifestyles, if they are believed that there's only one life. And now that's just food for thought. That's just the way I see it, is because it's like, you know, if you know that you have many lifetimes to come back, you will do the best job that you can this life, and you want to, because you don't want to come back and live that same circumstance. I mean, heaven forbid, you don't want to live that way again if it was a miserable life. And so, you know, a lot of people will do things, sacrifice themselves to be kind to other people, even at the expense of themselves, where they're miserable, just because they think if they do that, they'll go to heaven. Well, you know, y'all, that's the law of karma. I mean, if you treat yourself with disrespect, then how in the world can you have the law of reincarnation, the law of responsibility, the law of discrimination? How can all that be working for you so that you don't have to eventually come back like I did? I'm a Pisces, for heaven's sake. It's taken me a long time to get to the final zodiac sign to really get some of this karma way, way, way down. Because it's like, okay, here's a really good example. I'd say that you are afraid to say something to somebody, for you're afraid that you'll hurt their feelings. But it's honest, and it's the honest truth. And my daughter is a perfect example of this, because she's a Leo, and she will blurt out the truth. And I tell you, it's thankfully she's like that, because she doesn't worry about, I mean, she's kind about it, but she's honest. And she doesn't live this life of facade that I lived. Oh, you can't say that to somebody. That would be rude. Or you have to be this kind of person, and you have to be very nice, and you have to be, oh, you know, this and that. And it's, you live this sort of life as it's almost fake. You become fake to yourself. You don't even know who you are anymore. You don't even know what you like. And it's the same way in a relationship. If you're not honest with yourself, you're going to live a facade in your relationship, and you won't be happy. I mean, you may fake yourself into believing you're happy, but one day you're going to wake up and say, you know what? I'm not happy. And when that happens, hopefully you're young enough to make changes, because if you've been in a marriage for 20, 30 years and you wake up one day and you got 30 kids running around and you got debt and you got this house that you've lived in all your life and you got all this money, but yet you're miserable, it may be a little too late. It's not, from my viewpoint, it's never too late. But some people believe that at that point it would be too late. So I ask you to really look at what makes you happy and be authentic with yourself. That's the kind of counseling I work on, being authentic. You hear it a lot in today's marketplace, even, is being authentic, because how can you be anybody but yourself? And I see these teenagers, because my daughter's a teenager, and I see these teenagers trying to be this and trying to be that, and it's kind of sad, because if they were just themselves, probably wouldn't be all the troubles that go on for these kids and the stress that they live through. And then once you've been unauthentic and you've built this life on being fake, then all of a sudden when you try to be real, people look at you like something's the matter with you. You know, like you're crazy, or, oh, she's on drugs now, or something happened to her, she's in a midlife crisis. But the truth is that, from my viewpoint, those midlife crises are really about becoming authentic. Just really, and that's my little puppy. That's little Teddy. Little Teddy. That's Teddy. Teddy. So, you know, it's like being authentic is pretty key to living a life that will bring you happiness, because like you say, happiness comes within. Now, let's look at some of these laws that you can live to, or understand, to have a life that is your soul's journey. You're not living somebody else's soul's journey and making yourself miserable. But there are a lot of laws that we have talked about in the earlier shows, but these are the ones that I really want you to be aware of. Now, every experience that you have in your life, no matter how negative it is, creates some opportunity for you to get a gift out of that. And I think one of the most valuable aspects of life, if you can quiet yourself enough, be in meditative state, whether that be a walk or whatever, go out in life and really look at the opportunity for healing, the opportunity for finding that gift. And I don't know if the word healing, you know, a lot of times people think if they're healing, there's something wrong with them. That's not real. I mean, we all have things to learn. But let's just think you know, you had a breakup, or you're in some sort of grief or job loss, or someone you lost in your life that you love a lot. And, you know, you're looking at that and you're saying, wow, you know, I mean, this loss is really deeply affecting me. And at that point in time, you may be able to do it by yourself. You may be able to, you know, you may need to get some help on this. But if you can find that hidden, deep down gift, it will transform your life. It will absolutely transform it. It's like the day that I was going through all that thinking, my gosh, you know, I can't have another relationship again. I'll never be able to have another. What a negative statement, but that's what I was saying, because I can't do it right. Well, I was like, okay, fine. I said, so I just went out and put a prayer in meditative state. And I said, you know, Spirit, you got to show me the gift here. And I just tell y'all right now, just ask for it. Ask for the gift. I don't know what's going on here, but I feel like I have no choice in not ever having a relationship again. And that is when Spirit came to me. And all these experiences from life and all the little song I used to sing as a little girl came to me. And all of a sudden it hit me. I was never alone. I was never alone. And I always got into relationships thinking I couldn't do it alone. I couldn't do this alone. I couldn't do that alone. I had to be in a partnership. I had to have it out. Life is easier when you have two people. But you see, for some, that may be your journey. But for me, it wasn't my journey. So, you know, my journey was to learn to love myself, to know that I'm never alone. And I mean, that came to me in the most beautiful, subtle way. It wasn't like I chose to have it hit me with a ton of bricks. I didn't choose that. I chose a peaceful way. And boy, when I got that message, it was, well, I've never been the same. Now I have a choice. I can be in a relationship if I choose, or I don't have to be. And that choice is freedom. That's what I'm talking about with freedom. Freedom is the choice to be able to do what makes your soul's journey work for you. You know, I BBS has been around a very, very long time, and I see, you know, Doug and Don, that's their choice to do this. They love doing radio. And can you imagine if they chose to not do that anymore and go sit in an office somewhere in some corporate America or something like that? I mean, you know, and they didn't have a choice, or they thought they didn't have a choice. I mean, that would be not living their soul's journey. And, you know, a lot of times now, a very good mentor of mine was in the corporate world for years and years. And he kept saying it to himself, one day I am not going to be doing this. And guess what? One day he isn't. He and his beautiful, beautiful spiritual wife are doing spiritual energy dynamics. They're doing a wonderful job with it. They taught me. And, you know, life became very different then. It became much easier, much better. Did I have challenges? Of course, we all are going to have challenges. But if you will find that gift in every negative life experience and start to look back and say, whew, this is kind of similar to that other life experience I had, even though it may not be the same, it's similar. So, wow, let me look at this. Whoa. And then ask. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Just ask. Hello. You know, however you pray, however you meditate, however you ask, I need to find the gift in this. I need to have it pretty quickly because I'm struggling. And that's how you need to say it. I need to have the gift now. Now, the universe, spirit, however you want to term it, supports us unconditionally throughout the day. It's not like you can tune in and tune out, and they'll tune in at the same time that you tune in. They're there. I mean, this energy, this spiritual energy is there. It's we have to decide whether we can have it or not. And then at that point, it's like, oh, good. Oh, good. She's there. Okay. We're open to receive that abundant lifestyle if we only allow it. Now, I will share something that my dear friend Rose and I experienced when we were meditating. She comes to visit now and then. And she and I were meditating, and I saw this shield around me. It was almost like it felt not like a shield of armor, but it felt almost as thick. It was like a big, heavy fog. And Spirit showed me that when we do not allow our abundance in, when we have fear, guilt, lack, consciousness, all those kinds of fearful, negative thoughts is what they are, they form this kind of shield around us of fog, and it depends on how much, and if you got a lot of it, you may have a tin armor around you. But when you have that, you're blocking out the universe. You're blocking out your spiritual guides and you know, the angels' help. They're there, but we're blocking it out when we don't, when we have all that fear and all those negative thoughts, and when we don't understand the laws. See, wisdom, getting back to wisdom, wisdom gives us, and knowing the laws and knowing how to apply the laws in our universe, gives us that wisdom to overcome a lot of the negative challenges we might have to do. Now, let me give you an example of that. I've had those five relationships. Now, if I chose not to get the gift out of all of that, I could have gone right back in again and dated again and had the same experience again, different face, different person. So you think it's different. It isn't, because it isn't about them. It's about your own personal experience. So I could have gone in there, done it 3-4 times and never learned this lifetime. I mean, you know, people yourself that never learn. You say, gosh, you know, can't they just get it? I mean, what is it about it that can't they see? And so it's fascinating, because I have a nephew that it said to me years and years ago when he was in his teens, you know, my karma comes to me pretty quick, Aunt Vicky, pretty quick. Well, he never learned it, though, to stop doing those things that were causing those karmic things to come to him pretty quick. But he never learned. And so now he's in a desperate way, and I don't mean to talk to him about him, but it's just an example of, yeah, he knew in theory that karma comes back to him pretty quickly, but yet he didn't do anything to stop what was creating that negative experience in his life. So what I ask you to do is open up. There are exercises that you can do, the things that I work with clients on, to open up that ability to receive that abundance. I go out in the mountains every day, and when I don't get to go, I can tell you, I mean, I have other ways of meditating, but I really miss it. I don't feel as grounded. I don't feel as comfortable. I don't feel as relaxed when I'm really working hard doing my legal work, and I don't have time, or it's raining or something. It really kind of, it's just a little, I just don't like it as much. I like to meditate. And I'll go up there, and I will just raise my arms to the universe and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will just do whatever I do to bring in abundance in all parts of life, to bring that freedom in. So I just want to share that when you transform your energies and get rid of those old patterns, you know, you hear a lot about people that just use the law of attraction, just do affirmations. They will change your patterns. Well, I think it's a start, but I do think that you have to actually take action. Remember, I was talking about the law of karma requires action. You know, some people do all these funny kind of things to bring the action, but it's really got to be some shifts. I mean, I could sit there. Let's just say you called me up and said, you know, Dr. Vicky, I'd like you to do some counseling with me. And I'm just going, okay, let's work together. And I say, now listen, list what your life issue is, your life challenges. I don't care if it's money or self-doubt or not having any friends or having too many relationships or a divorce pending, whatever that life challenge is, I would say to you, okay, let's do some energy work on that. And I would do that, you know, not while you're on the phone with me, but I would do it, you know, in the quietness of my meditation, because I've got to be highly attuned to do all that. And so at the same time, though, let's just say that you have a problem. Somebody has a problem with running around on their husband or running around on their wife. Okay. So you're sitting there saying, I'm saying, well, let's work on that, Joe, Sue, you know, Bob. And then at the same time that I'm sitting here working on it, the law of responsibility says, you got to do something too. But you're saying, nah, I'm going to let Dr. Vicky do it all. I'm just going to sit here. And then one day I'm going to wake up and I won't do it anymore. I'm going to do my affirmations at night after I have my affair with my friend. And I'm going to go do my affirmations at night, and she's going to be doing the energy work. Doesn't work. No, it won't work. I won't be able to make much change on that, because you're not changing. We have to change what we're doing. And a lot of times we don't know what we're doing, because there's such old patterns, that kind of pattern you know about. But if you have some old thought patterns, some old ways of feeling, old ways of thinking, feelings and thoughts are all connected up there, y'all. If you have a thought, you're going to have a feeling with it. And if you handle the thought on it, you got to handle the feeling too. And that's what's so beautiful about some of the energy work that I've done for myself and for others, is that if you don't get that feeling, how'd you really feel at that moment? Then and only then will it be released and understood in a way that it will never come back again. And it doesn't have to be understood by you in a clairvoyant kind of way. It just has to be connected and released. It has to be connected and released. So if you're just saying affirmations all day long and doing the same pattern, then you know without a doubt that then the changes may happen, but it will take a much, much longer time to make that shift. And for most of us in today's, let's say 2015, or even many years ago, it would be the same thing. We want instant gratification. And I know that a lot of us are like that. I was like that. And still I am to some degree on certain things. But it doesn't work like that. It can happen instantly. It really can. At the same time, it may take time. Depends on what's going on with it karmically, what's happening with it, that particular way. But I want you to do something this week. It won't take you long. It's not too hard to do. But just list on a piece of paper. It's best to write it down in a safe environment so you know nobody's going to look at it. But list the situation, the challenge that keeps coming up again. What, and find out, because start listing them. You know, like for me, it would be, I've had 5 relationships and they never worked out. Well, I think that's a challenge. That's a situation. That's something that's not normal in today's world. You're supposed to find 1 or 2 relationships your whole life and supposed to have them happy and, you know, la, la, la. I mean, I don't never met anybody like that. But, I mean, allegedly, that's the way it kind of would be nice. You're supposed to marry somebody when you're 25, 30, stay with them until you die. I know that there are people out there that do that. And my question to them, though, are you really happy? And it isn't just about staying with somebody to keep your religious beliefs in. It's really about being happy, finding that true happiness within you. And many of them do, and many don't. So, you know, it's a personal thing. But list the situation, the challenge that keeps coming up that you are having to fight against or have issues with. And start listing them all out. And then toward the end of the week, you know, ask Spirit for your gift. Say, I really want to find the gift here. And see if you can find some sort of the gift, something. It may come to you from watching TV. It might be listening to BBS radio. It might be driving in a car. I can't tell you where that gift is going to come from. But if you keep asking for it, it will eventually show up. And it's pretty awesome when that happens. It's pretty phenomenal when you can get that gift and know, wow, you know, all those things that I just went through were worth it. You don't have any more regrets because you know that what I went through or what we go through was well worth it, because look at this gift I got. Wow, what a great gift. So the spiritual laws of discrimination and discernment. Now, I'm going to just flat out tell you, I never knew the word discernment. I didn't even know it existed in the dictionary. I had no more discernment in my life than I just had none. And so when I would go to somebody told me something, I would believe it. If somebody said they loved me, I would believe it. I never was discerning about, well, wait a minute. Let's see. Let me look at this for a minute. They say they're going to love my child, but the last child they had with the former wife, they've disconnected from that person. Even though they may have adopted that child, they won't have anything to do with that child. I should have looked at that and said, wow, that's interesting. Every relationship they've had a child in it, but yet they have no connection with that child anymore. They talk ugly about the child. Well, I mean, that's discernment. When you hear that, and so many times when we get in a new relationship and they talk about their past or, you know, people from the past and they talk negative about it, we kind of like, oh, good, that's good. They don't have a good relationship with them. Oh, I'm happy about that. But, you know, not really, y'all. because that's what's got to happen in your relationship. If you don't have some discernment and aware of where they're coming from and what's going on in their life, it's just repeating for them. They're giving you their signs of their issues are in their lives. So the more we are evolved on our spiritual paths, and you hear this a lot, you know, your spiritual path and your evolution, the more we're expected, or, you know, the universe wants us to take responsibility and discernment and discrimination. And we're tested. We're tested by the universe all the time on this. And I know I talk to people and they'll say, boy, was that a test? You know, I was tested to see if I was going to hold true to what I really learned, to hold true to my beliefs, so that I just got that gift. You know, you might be tested on that gift. And, you know, if you're given guidance by someone else, you know, meet somebody, given a new job, check that internally. Don't necessarily go to a psychic and get their opinion on it. Get your internal perception on it, those feelings. And now, as I have to tell you, that you really need to know what you're feeling is not fear. And that's where energy work comes in. You've got to have the discernment and the discrimination against whether it feels right or if it's fear. And, you know, you say that's a fine line, and it really is. Now, I trust that now. But years ago, even though I was always spiritually inclined and always doing some sort of spiritual course or something, I never could differentiate between feeling of right for me or feelings of fear. And at that point, when you can get that discernment, the spiritual law of discrimination and discernment, you can start trusting yourself, because your gut, your internal, your feeling, your solar plexus, those are the areas that you go to. That's that feeling you get. Some people feel it in their heart, but most people call it that gut reaction. That's just an old common verbiage. That gut reaction, you're going to feel it and you're going to know. And the first thing that pops in your head is usually the answer. And I know that my daughter, my good friend Rose, and her husband are looking to move. And so she asked Anya, she said, are we going to move? And Anya said, oh, yeah, you're going to move in a month. And my friend said, oh, Vicky, there's no way I'm going to move in a month. And she said, you're not going to be staying in Florida. You're going to be going out to California or something to that effect. And she's like, she's off. But I won't say anything to her, you know. And so about 2, 3, 4 days later, she called up and she said, we're moving in a month and we're moving to California. Now, you know, the question is, did it feel right to her? And she said, you know what? We've had 5 job offers. 5 job offers. And this one feels right. So it doesn't matter what anybody says, that one's the right one. Now, if, like, my daughter is extremely intuitive, but she picked up that was the right one for her, because she knows her real well and she has that heart connection with her. So she was able to perceive, as well as not just give information, but she could perceive what was right for her. And so when she said that and she felt it, I asked her, I said, well, that may be true in you know, this person's space, but is it right for you? And she said, for both of them, it was right. So when we work with the energies of our universe, we've got to use that discrimination and that discernment. Because if you just have somebody knock at your door and say, you know, I really want to work with you. And you're like, oh gosh, I really need somebody. And you never check them out. You never do a FBI check on them. You don't talk to people that have known them before. You don't use discernment and some sort of way of discriminating to just, you know, to find out about them. Then you're going to be putting yourself in a very, very bad way. I have handymen that come to the house to help me through the years, and I've always gotten them referenced by other people that have used them for years as their handyman. And that way I know that they're not just some fly-by-night criminal that's just floating in town that puts a little ad in the paper and says, handyman work, and then you're dead 5 days later because they came in to, you know, steal you blind. So it's very discerning. But and sometimes people may think that you're not trusting them, but that's their issue, not yours. You need to learn to trust yourself. And if something doesn't feel right to you, feelings do not feel right to you, then you need to listen to that intuition. We all have it. Be discerning. And then you will know exactly what you should do after that. It's very important to know from your own internal feelings what you should do. And you can also tell if somebody's being honest or not, especially when you're going into a relationship. You need to be aware of that. And I hope that as we talk tonight, you know, it's our responsibility to be discerning in our lives. We cannot sit there and say, he did this, she did this. You know, we can't do that, y'all. We won't be able to move forward in our lives. Responsibility, the law of responsibility, is our job. I mean, it is our job. Now, listen, I want to share this with you because you cannot take on great responsibility and if you don't take care of yourself. Now, if you are wanting to share something with somebody, like I mentioned earlier, and afraid of hurting their feelings, that's their issue, whether it hurts their feelings or not. And I will share this with you. I had a family member who I love to this day with all my heart. This person chose to go into a group, I will call it a group because I'm on radio, that disconnects other family members and other people if they don't believe the way they do. And they call you evil and they call you bad people and all. And so I did everything in my power as a family member to get this person out of that group. Now, I've handled all the karma on it now, but for a long time, I really supposedly hurt him. I did things that he, you know, were against his soul's journey. So by doing that, I wasn't taking responsibility for myself. I thought I was taking responsibility for him, but he was a grown person. He did not need me to take responsibility for him. He did not need that. You cannot take on great responsibility in your life if you do not take care of your own needs. I was not taking care of my own needs. You know, you've got to look after yourself. You can't be worried to death about somebody else because maybe they have that soul's journey. Maybe they have that challenge. Maybe they have to work out some karma. And if you go stomping on everybody else's life and butting into their lives and telling them what to do all the time, you're basically saying, I'm taking on your karma. I think I'll take on 5 or 10 people's karma. Oh, boy, won't that be fun? And you become miserable because you're so in controlling of other people that you can't even live your own life because you're controlling everybody else. Now, when we understand the spiritual law of responsibility, we never blame another person. We no longer blame anybody else. Or remember we talked about the law of projection? We don't project our own feelings, our own thoughts, our own life onto them. So I just want to share that with you. So if you have a family member that you're working with right now that you feel is doing the wrong thing, now certainly, you know, if somebody's on drugs or if your kid's out, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all are smart people out there. I see a beautiful red bird. That's a gift of joy. So I want to share that with y'all. Beautiful red bird out on the trees. I just want to share that if you know, there's a law of responsibility where, you know, you can't just keep your child locked up in a house and not ever teach them to drive because you're afraid they're going to hit somebody. But you can take the responsibility of teaching them how to drive the best way that you know how. And then you have to spread your wings just like that beautiful red bird that I'm looking at. And you have to trust that God will take care of them and that they will live their soul's journey to the most beautiful way that they can. I want to invite you to come and visit me at livingyoursoulsjourney.com. Fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal and, you know, get to know. I want you to get to know me because that's the only way you can really work with somebody in the kind of work that I do is you have to trust. You have to believe in what they can do for you and the benefits that you can get out of that. So I just want to share that with you. I have so enjoyed being with you this Sunday evening. I'm not sure if I'm going to have a guest next week or not. I possibly may, but if I do, I will announce it on my, on BBS if there is someone that I may be having. Until then, I hope you have a very blessed week and do yourself a favor for 21 days, get a gratitude journal and give thanks. Even if you say every night, thank you, thank you, thank you. Do it for 21 days and get back with me in 21 days. Next week, I'll remind you again to keep that journal. Until then, living your soul's journey can be fun. Namaste. Good night.